The following presentation was recorded at the 2012 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Good morning, everyone. It's truly good to be here. I enjoyed this time of sharing together very much. I want to thank each one that took part, and also to the folks here at Maranatha for making this facility available for us. And thank you again for coming and participating in this institute so that it can be a success for all of us. My topic is Let's Go. And I guess really, if we went through all this teaching and all these classes, and at the end of all this, we don't go and put any of it to practical use, it really wasn't worth a lot. So let's go and go back to our home communities and be a blessing there. I started school in 1967. It's a little school in Lancaster. Well, it was, I guess in those days it was a bigger school in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania. It was a good school. I had good teachers. It was run by the Lancaster Conference Church. And I would say it was a godly environment. And I finished fourth grade there. By then, the Eastern Pennsylvania Mennonite Church had formed, which my father chose to relate to. They purchased an abandoned public school in Lancaster County again and remodeled it to suit their needs. And I remember the trips to the school after supper to work and sweat and prepare the building to get school started. So I finished the rest of my schooling there. So today, 45 years later, I am not a survivor of the public school system. I did not have to weed through secular, ungodly teaching in my growing up years, but rather I benefited from a Christian school all my days, for which I am very grateful. So today I don't feel like I need to convince you that a conservative Baptist school is necessary, but rather give encouragement to go and put what we've heard into shoe leather. I feel like we've been handed the torch. And it's our responsibility to not let it get dim, but to keep it burning brightly and move it toward the finish line. My youngest child is in fifth grade. So you can see our days of packing lunches. They're not over yet, but we can see the end. In a few short years, I can wipe my brow. Thank God the schools were here for my children, and I can hit the recliner. Is that good enough? Well, I don't think so. My father served on the school board. I'm serving. I want my sons and grandsons to strive to have safe places of education for future generations, as long as God sees fit to have us here. So we need to keep that vision burning brightly. Let's make sure we do that in our communities. For the remainder of my time, I'd like to take my thoughts and inspiration from the book of Nehemiah and his story. And I know Nehemiah has been mentioned before in this last 2 days here. But I don't think I'll repeat much of what others said. You can turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. We don't know much about Nehemiah's childhood. Possibly his great-grandparents were carried into captivity when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. So he grew up at Babylon, and I had to wonder, what kind of school did they have for him? Was it a Christian school? Was it an Anabaptist school? What did they study there? Somewhere he learned about God. 2 Chronicles 36:19 says, "And they burnt the house of God and brake down the wall of Jerusalem. And them that had escaped the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants." And that's where Nehemiah grew up. Nehemiah rose to the high position of cupbearer to the king, and we know God had his hand in that. But here he learned that the community in Judah was in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Nehemiah 2:1-3. The king notices that Nehemiah is sad as he's serving him the cup. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and I said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Knowing this, he succeeds in having himself appointed governor in Judah with authority and resources, finances, the king's blessing to rebuild the city walls. He was a man of skill and daring. He first surveyed the walls at night to avoid detection by those who might oppose the work. Then he assembled a labor force, and dividing the wall into sections, he supervised the building process. The project was completed in spite of determined opposition, mockery, armed raids, a ruse to draw him out of the city to harm him, blackmail, and finally a prophet hired to foretell his death. In every case, he met the challenges with courage, wisdom, and an invincible determination to complete the task for which God had called him. This morning, I'd like to compare the wall to our Christian schools and the need to keep them strong and in good repair, pouring energy into them, as Nehemiah did to this project. I'd like to, at this point, to read Nehemiah chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Nehemiah answers and prays to God, Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for our prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God, and set a watch against them day and night, because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise at the same time said I unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. The first question I'd like to ask is, do we need a wall at all? Wouldn't it be easier, or would it make more financial sense to just tear this wall down? You know, you see people out there and they had a fire, or the building is old and getting rickety, and they decide, you know, it's not worth putting the money into building it. We're just going to take her down. Very close to my parents' little town of Stevens, a man decided to put an outside entrance into his basement. And I thought he's putting one of those Bilco steps down in the cover. Well, he decided maybe he should have the basement a little more headroom down there as well. So he dug the floor down and took the ground out under the foundation the whole way around, so he had more headroom. Well, one day the whole front of the house fell out on the street, and they condemned it, and they simply took the building down. The house is gone. There's grass planted there. So do we need a wall? Maybe it would make more fiscal sense to just simply get rid of the wall. After all, they were broken and they were burned down. Open things up a little bit. Get a little broader influence with the wall down. Maybe Sanballat and Tobiah could serve on the school board. I think they'd probably had ways of raising some funds. Everyone's always a little short of money. Possibly it could help us. No thanks. We need a wall to help us put into practice the sayings of this book. Train up a child in the way he should go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction drives it from him. These are not the things that the enemies on the other side of the wall were teaching. They needed the wall. Sanballat and Tobiah were grieved that someone was seeking the welfare of the children of Israel. And remember, the men that are against the building of the wall are not concerned that our children get a God-centered education. We need a strong school with a thick, strong wall and new gates to keep the enemy out. If our wall is broken down and we're letting the world in and their ideas on how to educate our children, we will end up being a reproach and no challenge to the world at all. Number two, we need to depend on God for help on this wall. Nehemiah 2, verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let's go. Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Except the Lord build our school, we labor in vain that build it. But with his good hand and blessing and favor upon us, we can go forward in his strength and power. Verse 20 says, chapter 2, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. We need God on our side, and he will prosper us. Number three, building the wall requires paying attention to details. Lots of decisions need to be made. What kind of materials will we build with? Where are we going to get all that block, stone, and mortar to fix these walls up? Do we have the resources to get it all together? Who will teach? Who will serve on the school board? One thing is for sure, God wants to help and bless us from the footers through the last course of block. And he will bless our school from kindergarten through high school if we stick to the principles of this book. God protected these folks as they cleared the rubble and got the project rolling and the wall went up. Number four, God expects us to build. Chapter 4, verse 6 says, so built we the wall. We can't just sit there and wait for others to do it. We can't just sigh and look at all the rubble and all the work that needs to be done. We need to build. God expects us to do it. Let's go. For the people had a mind to work. Walls bring rest and security. Safe places for our children to grow and mature. A place where the book, this book, is taught and discussed right alongside of math, English, and science. Walls keep the enemy out, keep the world out. Can you imagine living in Jerusalem at this time with no wall, surrounded by people that had no interest in that wall being built at all and had no interest in seeing the nation of Israel prosper at all? And I guess those enemies are still over there. People that are dedicated to the destruction of Israel. They had no interest in seeing anything good happen to this wall. Can you imagine sending your students to school with the enemy, where homosexuality, promiscuity, drugs, and violence are common everyday occurrences? We need a good school with a strong wall. I have an acquaintance that served as an administrator on a school in the city of Reading, which is in Pennsylvania. It's the county seat of Berks County, where I live. And they have quite a few city children attending their school. He describes the Reading High School as a place where you wear a big baggy shirt with your pants half falling down, security cameras, and a full-time police force. And I had read in the paper where they also discussed having a court in the school where they can try these students without having to take them to the courthouse. Set up a little court in school where they can deal with this stuff right up front. But as the city gets worse, more good people move out. And when the bad people start robbing the businesses, then the businesses move out. So Reading is one of the poorest cities that has at least 165,000 people. And the schools are in bad shape. Well, he had a mother sending her daughter to his Christian school. She approached him one day and said, "I'd like to pull my daughter out of your school." "Okay, what's the problem?" She said, "All you people want to talk about is God, 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 God." And he said, "Amen, lady, you're getting the drift." So she pulled her out, sent her to a public school. Then she tried a private Catholic school. And then there was a knock at the door. "Can I re-enroll my daughter in your school?" "Certainly. But guess what we're going to be talking about? God, 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 God. Let's keep God at the center of everything that we do in our schools so they remain a safe place for our children." What needs will we have as we build? We need a leader, someone with good leadership qualities, better than Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush. Verse 14, chapter 4. "Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and terrible. Being a builder involved hardship, sacrifice, and difficulty, but remembering the Lord, the captain of our salvation, keeping in mind his qualities, his success, should motivate us beyond any hardship to find a place on the wall or in our school, serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and thus being a blessing to our church and to our school." Time after time, when Nehemiah got in a tight spot, he turned to God. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." 4:4, "Hear us, O God." 4:9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God." Thousands of years later, here we stand. We have the same leader, remember the Lord, the same God, to turn to for help in building our wall or running our school or helping our boards make tough decisions. Don't forget him. We need a vision for the need of a wall and for our schools. These people had a mind to work. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Press on, even if support is not 100%. Chapter 3 and verse 5. "And next to them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord." They had some slackers. Their nobles did not put their necks to the work of the Lord. We need fathers board members that are willing to take their turn to go in for school devotions and visit school or help plan the hike. We need teachers that are spirit-filled and a godly influence on their students. And we need to appreciate a school that upholds a biblical lifestyle. Verse 17, chapter 4. And they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and with those that laid it, everyone with his hands. We must be grateful for everyone that contributes, from the cleaning people to the one that cuts the grass, the moms that drive those big Ford maxi vans and bring hot lunches in, to the school administrator and the board. We need to be grateful for everyone's contribution. It takes work and sacrifice. I brought along my good little sheet about our board. It says school board and subcommittees. Now, we oversee two schools. So we have 9 school board members. Any ordained man that has children in school is invited to our board meetings with full powers for discussion and voting. So we have 9 board members. There's 11 pastoral advisors listed here as well. So when I make agendas for board meeting, I usually make 18. Not all those ministers show up. They have revivals somewhere or whatever they have going, and we don't look for them necessarily. But to have 15 or 16 men at board meeting, I would say, is fairly common. And remember, don't get rid of all the grandpas on board at the same time. Work some young guys in that can work their way and get used to what's going on before you replace the older people. So I guess if you feel that we have safety in numbers, I guess our board should go pretty well. Next on this list is the curriculum committee. People ask me, how do we decide to change curriculum or get new curriculum? We have a curriculum committee. There's 5 brothers in there, 2 principals, an ex-teacher, a teacher, another ex-teacher. And they'll examine new curriculum and requests the teachers might have or the principal. And then they bring it to the board. So they look at it before we get it. Then we have a library committee, 4 brethren and their wives that review books to get in there. Each school has their own trustee committee, 4 for the one school and 6 for the other. 10 trustees that oversee the maintenance and keep the school in good repair and perking along. Oh, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, we had a fire in our one school. Somebody made a mistake with a candle. Everyone was in the basement, and a couple boys went upstairs. Smoke. So I got a call, I was an hour away, that they're evacuating the school, the fire company's on the way. But the trustees picked that up and fixed it up, cleaned it up, and it was wonderful. The last thing on this, and if you really want to get in the hot seat, is the snow committee. These 5 men get their heads together at 6 in the morning and decide if we're going to have school or not. So maybe if you missed all the rest of them, you could get on the snow committee. But it's humbling, and what a blessing when so many can be involved and spread the work out and keep things going. What were some challenges these workers faced? Well, number one, the newness wore off. They hit the grind. They were physically weary and tired. Chapter 4, verse 10. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. 21, so we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. That was a long work day. I don't think this was a union crew. And they probably were not getting prevailing wage. They were emotionally weary. 3 and 4. Tobias said that what they're doing, if a fox runs up against it, it'll knock it over. Hear, O God, for we are despised. It wasn't very encouraging. They had the challenge of keeping their eyes off the rubble and rather focus on building and completing the wall and keeping their eyes on God. As I mentioned, our board oversees 2 schools. We have about 16 teachers, which includes the secretary and some tutors and aides that help here and there. But when we ask people back, it's about 16. And we've been blessed that our teacher turnover is relatively low. This year we need one teacher. But a number of years back, and again, I don't know exactly how far, but maybe it was 10. As I walked by one of our elderly bishops, he turned to me and he said, "Clyde, how many teachers will you need this year?" I didn't say a word. I just looked at him and went like this. 10. 10. Well, with God's help and others, we found them one by one on the phone. It took a while, you can imagine. But don't grow weary of looking for and staffing your school with good teachers. Remember the advantages of strong, solid walls and good gates. Number 7, challenges to get the wall finished. We need strong families and strong homes. Verse 13, chapter 4. "Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families." We need families that help and support our school, strong homes. In chapter 3, it outlines the builders of who did this part of the wall. And next to him was this person, and next to him was that person. And they kept on working together. But we need strong homes. I'm a salesman, and I made an appointment with a young man. And he said, "I can't come till 4 o'clock because I'm a school teacher." Oh, well, this sounds interesting. So we met there. He was a compact man, very muscular, had a flat top. He was a don't mess with me type guy. So we talked about our business, but I couldn't stay off the school subject. I said, "So how does it work? You're a school teacher." It was a Wilson School District, which is outside of Reading. Better school there than in the city, but... "So how does it go? Can you teach? Can you keep order?" He said, "Well, I've been teaching 10 years. And when I started, I would say that 60% of the students were good, 40% were bad. 10 years later, that number has switched. So now 60% of the students are bad and 40% are good. Only 40% can be taught and worked with and cooperate. And so that means that Myerstown School, where my children go, if we have 150 students, if 60% of them are bad, that means there's 90 bad students and 60 good. Unbelievable ratio. How would you like to be on that board? 60% are uncooperative and difficult to teach anything. Now, why am I telling you that story? I asked him, "Why aren't they all bad? How do you come up with 40% being good?" Who wants to guess? What makes the difference? The homes, the families, where mom and dad live together and at least try and be a decent American family and get along and cooperate. But let the children know, yes, you're going to school to learn and get your education, and you will study and get your homework done. 4 out of 10. The rest of them, bad homes, single parents, and when things go wrong at home, it just blows up. That's exactly how they act at school. Put your finger on them and boom, you can't do anything. So I had to wonder, why does he teach? But I suppose it's probably for the pay and the benefits. But the homes do make a difference. Don't forget that, and they make a big difference in our school as well. The other thing he said is, and the last thing we need is another computer program. Just let us teach. Give us a chalkboard and some chalk and we'll teach. Please, not another computer program. Strong homes are so important to good school life. We also need strong youth and strong young married men that love the Lord and are willing to train and accept the challenge of teaching in our schools, willing to face the enemy head on and work on the wall. Always remember the Lord, His greatness, His power. Stay on the wall. 4:15. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, every one unto his work. Stay on the wall. Don't give up. God makes the miracle possible that we can defeat the enemy and build and have our schools. He won't leave us hanging out to dry. We need leaders who will sound the trumpet. Chapter 4, verse 18. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Verse 20. In what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. The trumpet warned of danger. It rallied everyone's support to come and help. It helped pump energy into the work. The other thing Nehemiah requested was to stay in the city. Don't go out to the little town 5 miles away to sleep. Don't go out in the dark. Let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. They worked double shift there so that they could make a better contribution. Take the extra precaution of staying where it's safe. The night is getting darker. It's dark out there. It's getting darker around our schools. Let's put safeguards in place and make the wall thick to protect our loved ones. Our board put together a parent's statement of support. I'll just read some of the highlights on it. I don't know at what point we might be called on the carpet for corporal punishment or be told that we discriminate against people because they may come to our school. Our school requests that families do not have television, and may a judge somewhere along the line decide that we discriminate, whether we may longer do corporal punishment. So we put a parent statement of support together. I'll just skim down over it. I will pray earnestly for the school. I will cooperate fully in the educational functions, realizing the tremendous financial obligations. I will help as the Lord enables. I will undertake volunteer duties and responsibilities for the school as opportunities arise. I will attend meetings and parent functions regularly. I will give the school the right to bring consequences into our child or children's lives for wrongdoing, including corporal punishment as necessary. We further agree that we will cooperate and discipline our children at home as needed. I give the school the right to dismiss any student who does not, in the judgment of the faculty, administration, and school board, cooperate satisfactorily. If I become dissatisfied with the school in any respect, I will seek to resolve the matter rather than spread criticism or hold negative attitudes. I will seek the advancement of the Christian school in all areas. I will support the Christian school's administration, dress, and discipline policies. And we get all our parents to sign that, not just ones that aren't part of our church group. The bishop signs it as well. So if we are called in question, is do our parents understand what our school stands for? Yes, they signed the paper. Here it is. So you might want to think about protecting yourself if somewhere down the road, you end up in court. I see it out there somewhere where a federal judge somewhere would decide that, no, we may not touch our children anymore either. Those students of that high school teacher, they asked him, would you give us a beating if you could? And he said, certainly, I'd love to. But why? Why should you come to school and I have to club you? Let's learn. Let's cooperate and let's learn together. I don't want to come here to beat you. But he let them know that if they want to pull too many fast tricks, they better not meet him in a dark alley some night. So that's the way they had school. I don't know where the enemy will try next to attempt to stop our wall building. Solicit the support and understanding of your patron body. Look at the results when everyone did their job. The wall was completed. Progress, results, rest and safety. Chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. So the wall was finished in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were round about us saw these things, They were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Amen. Give God the glory if things go well at your school and you get the job done. It also brought joy in Jerusalem. Chapter 12, verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. When our schools meet the needs of our families and they go well, it brings joy to everyone, and I think our neighbors see it as well. Let's have our schools be institutions that bring joy and light in our communities because of the work that God has wrought for us. We have our school program at Myerstown in, I think it's coming up here at the end of the month, in March. And each room does their own thing. But in the end, we line up 150 children up there on the risers, and they sing together. And that gives me goosebumps. And it makes our nights of board meeting and our work worth it all. So finally, brethren, let's go. Let's go back, put our what we've learned into shoe leather. Let's be a blessing and a light and a joy in our communities. And may God bless you as you go from here and serve Him. Thank you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.